Morrison, Reel 3.
Your training in running repairs?
No. No, I didn't. No, I was quite glad to have had the knowledge of it. It's a good idea if you're going to drive to know what's going on inside the car and why it does that. Of course, it was a very different sort of driving from what it is now. All cars then had a right-hand gate change. Now they're all left, I think. But they all had a right-hand gate change, and not a ball and socket through the gauge. Are you a driver? No, we're not talking about that. That's all right. Well, it was a right-hand, and you didn't have any artificial signals or flashing lights. You did everything with your hand. But you did everything with your right hand, and I quite see why perhaps it's been considered better not to anymore. You had your brake, you had your gear, you had your brake, and you had to make your signals. So it was rather absurd, really. Your left hand wasn't doing anything.
Have you driven since then?
Yes, I have. Yes, I don't have a car now, though. Yes.
Were you driving at the time?
No, I was on leave, and I was staying with some friends in Harrow when the whistles and the shouts went off. And of course, it made a big noise. I suppose its engines were pretty powerful. And we heard all the shouts, and my friends had there was a balcony on in the house, and we went out onto this little balcony, and we saw this, to me, to anyone, I would think, what I would call an awful sight, because it was roaring flames, and it was like a big cigar, I suppose its shape was, and all of the bag part, I suppose, had caught fire, and the gas part, I mean, and it was roaring flames, blue and red, purple, and it seemed to be coming, floating slowly down instead of falling down with a bang, and we knew that there were about 60 people in that. We'd always been told there was a crew of about 60, that they were being roasted to death. And, of course, you weren't supposed to feel any pity for your enemies. Nevertheless, I was appalled to see kind, good-hearted British people dancing about in the streets at the sight of 60 people being burned alive, clapping and singing and cheering. And my own friends delighted. When I said I was appalled that anyone could be pleased to see such a terrible sight, they said, but they're Germans. They're the enemy. They're Germans, yes, Germans, not human beings. And it was like a flash to me that this is what war did, that it created this utter inhumanity in perfectly decent, nice, gentle, kindly people. I can't go on with it. I just turned my back on it then, but I had everything to learn after that. You don't know the answers just instinctively if you've really thought it was the right thing to do. When I suddenly thought it is not right, it is wrong, and I can't have any further part. So it's rather like Paul on the road to Damascus, isn't it? But I can't explain it better than that, and that it has been, and I've never looked back. I still think that if we'd behaved as decent human beings and Christian people, after the First World War, there never would have been a Hitler. Germany wouldn't have needed to do that.
I'm surprised that all these people were in the street. Hadn't you had a warning that you should be...
Well, people rushed out to see things just the same as they did in the Second World War. You'd think they'd take cover, but no. They were supposed to, of course, get inside their houses. We didn't have shelters like we had in the Second World War. At least I don't think we did. I can't remember anything like that at all. The Anderson shelters, the Morrison shelters, and people took cover under their tables. No, I don't think we did. And no, people rushed out to see it. They thought it was a gorgeous sight. I dare say the people who were just underneath it didn't rush out so much, but we were a little bit away where I was.
Did you know where it fell?
Only afterwards. Potter's Bar, I think it was.
But at the time you...
No, at the time we didn't know, no. And I assumed that it was our guns. The anti-aircraft guns were looked upon as being practically innocuous. But they weren't that night. Archies, we called them. Can't remember why now. And women were allowed to use those guns if they signed that they were willing to. That was one of National Service Acts, or that no woman might use a lethal weapon unless she agreed to. I thought it was marvellous to change that to no person may use a lethal weapon unless they agreed to. I've often wondered how many men would have signed it.
So there actually were women?
Oh, yes.
Firing.
Well, I don't know whether there really were, but I think there were some who wanted to, and I dare say that is what I heard. But of course, the women did a great deal in the war, and that's why it's always been said that's why we got the vote, because of what we did in the war. And I can assure you this is not true. The vote was given to women over 30 and over. Well, I wasn't 30 when the war came to an end. I'd been 21 when it broke out, and I was 25 or 6 when it finished. And women of 30, and they had to be householders. So it was all nonsense. It was a very limited vote. We didn't really get it till 1928, when Baldwin gave what was called the flapper vote. You'd always have little denigrating words for women, always. However, the flapper vote didn't go for Baldwin. He was out, in fact. So that was a mistake he made, thinking the women would vote for him. Oh, I think women did a great deal in the First World War. They were conscripted to do it in the Second World War, but they did it voluntarily and willingly. In the First, it all seemed so much more romantic to be told that you were fighting for the cause to end all wars. And then there were the atrocity stories about what were done to the Belgians.
Did you ever know any Belgian refugees?
I didn't have anything to do with any of them personally, but people complained about them terribly, those who did have them. But it's all very well. It can't be very nice being a refugee and away from your own country and hearing these dreadful stories. But so I wasn't really surprised if they were nasty and sulky and didn't behave well. But people did complain about them. They ought to have been grateful, was the attitude. I don't think they ought to have been grateful at all. I never did, even at the time. People have such extraordinary ideas. I bet we'd have behaved badly if we'd had to shift away from this little island where we never have had to. Don't know anything about it. We haven't had our country fought over, though I suppose you could say the bombs. were a bit like it. In fact, some of the men who came home from in the Second World War from other places said they were much more frightened here than they had been in some of the places they'd been supposed to be fighting in. Certainly I was frightened all the time. And I don't remember being frightened at all in the First World War, not in the least.
Did your family approve of you being an ambulance driver?
Oh yes, they thought it was all right. They didn't approve of the other. Well, they've never really, my mother and my sister were never really opposed to me, but I had a lot of relations. And the fact that their sons, my cousins were all killed, their sons had been killed, and didn't make them sympathetic to conscientious objection, naturally. Though it ought to have. But there was this attitude, I've given my son, which always upset me anyway, because nobody has any right to give somebody else. And I think, on the whole, they did go willingly. Of course, conscription didn't come in until 1916. So that the very best of our young people were killed off by 1916. And people had stopped going and gladly joining up.
Was there a great deal of black being worn? Or did people find that too depressing?
No, they did. Not quite so much as in France. But of course in France they always draped themselves as though they were all widows anyway. But, oh yes, we certainly did, yes. But I can remember as a child proudly wearing a black band for Queen Victoria. I was rather proud of that, to be allowed to wear it. Everybody went into mourning for Queen Victoria. It's extraordinary what a change there is. And we wore little badges of Baden-Powell and all the great generals of the Boer War. So you see, I've lived through a lot of wars.
Did you have any relatives who were in the Boer War?
No, I didn't. But I certainly wasn't born a pacifist, because I remember we used to play games about the Boer War, my sister and my cousins and I, and sing all those songs, Goodbye Dolly, I Must Leave You, and those things.
When people's sons or husbands were killed in the First World War, would they be proud that they had died, or would they be resentful? And would that turn them against the war at all?
Didn't turn them against the war, I don't think so. I think they had to be proud. It was the only thing left for them, because they were so young. Boys of 20 and 21. I think their parents had to feel proud of them all. Or otherwise it was unbearable. I don't remember anyone who was resentful about it, no. Because I think everybody had become convinced that this was necessary. And once you've started to fight a war and are, as it were, the two sides locked, it's not very easy to stop it. In fact, I don't know how we did stop it. But everyone went mad, of course, when it did stop. That day, Armistice Day, there was nothing like that in the Second World War. We were all worn out, I suppose.
What was Armistice Day like?
Oh, it was insane. People crowded into the streets, gathered round Buckingham Palace, stood up on the tops of buses. You couldn't, traffic was at a standstill. Couldn't move, everybody was cheering and singing and shouting. And of course, immensely and enormously relieved. But the awful thing was that there were some people who were killed on that very day when we were rejoicing. You couldn't really, if you had anybody at the front, you